These last few weeks since Christmas, we've been talking about what it means to be a Christian. It means that we are two things, basically. We are loved and we are sent. We are loved by God sacrificially and selflessly. Love that isn't earned or deserved. It is freely given us by God's grace and mercy. And we are also sent by God. Sent to love and serve others selflessly, sacrificially, as we have first been loved and served by God. And who is this God who loves and sends us? Last Sunday we talked about God who is our Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. God is our Creator, our Designer. We are designed by God to love Him and love others, and that love for God and that love for others is spelled out and described for us in the Ten Commandments. When God created us, He made us perfect. Genesis 1 verse 27 says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them, and behold, it was very good. There was no sin, there was no death. There was no separation between God and man. Genesis 3 says that before sin came into the world, Adam and Eve could walk and talk together with God in the Garden of Eden. That's the closeness with God that we were made for. But of course, that's all been messed up. It's all gone horribly wrong. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They disobeyed God, and that sin separated them from God, as it also separated them from each other. That sin created a huge mess of selfishness and violence and greed and injustice. A huge mess that we're still suffering from today. Look around this world. Look at how we humans behave toward each other and toward God. What a mess this has become. When I was an intern in Virginia, I visited someone in their home. They had a beautiful home, immaculate, perfect in every respect, not a smudge anywhere or a speck of dust in sight. I was impressed. Then I happened to look in their garage. Oh my goodness, what an impossible mess was in their garage. Junk piled high to the ceiling. No room for vehicles. No room even for people to walk through and find anything. The whole house was immaculate except for that one space, which was a disaster. Where is your messy place? I think most of us have one. Most of us can keep most of our house cleaned up and in order, but there's that one room or the closet or the garage or the attic or the car maybe or the office where things are a mess. Such a mess that you have basically written off that room. You close the door and you forget about it. You give up on ever getting that space cleaned and organized again. What is God to do with the mess that this world has become because of our sin? What would you do? You or I would probably try to hide the mess. We would throw it all in the garage, throw it all in that back bedroom, or maybe behind the shed where no one can see it. Close the door and walk away and pretend that it isn't there. Perhaps God should do the same to us. Close the door on us. Leave us to deal with our own mess. Maybe He should just walk away. Or maybe not. Because here's where we discover something else about who God is. God is not only our Father who created us and designed us, He is also our Redeemer, our Savior. In Christ, His Son, God chose not to walk away from us, not to walk away from all the mess that we've created. He chose instead to enter into the mess, to be present among us, to become one of us. The word that we Christians use to describe all of this is the word incarnation. Incarnation. God became incarnate. That is, He became enfleshed. He became one of us. God is with us. He is incarnate among us in the person and work of Jesus, His Son. The person and work of Jesus can be described with three simple objects. The first object is a manger. The manger reminds us that this baby Jesus, in this baby Jesus, God was born into the world. God entered into our mess. God came to walk among us, to be present among us. The manger is a symbol of God's presence among us. And remember what a manger is. A manger is an animal's feed box. The baby Jesus was not laid in a sanitary hospital nursery crib. He was not laid in an expensive cradle in a king's castle. He was laid in a messy animal's feed box. God is born into the messiness of our broken world. He didn't shut the door on the mess or run away from it or ignore it. He was born into it. That means He is near to us, not distant. He is right beside us in the middle of our mess. The manger reminds us of God's presence among us. When I was a child, my room, I was the only boy. I had three sisters. So the sisters, they had their room. I had my own room. My room, from time to time, would become messy, which is a nice word for how messy it could get. My mother would come and look at my room, and she would say to me, "I'm coming back in an hour, and this room better be cleaned up." And she meant it. And so I dove into the room and I cleaned and I vacuumed and I dusted and I got it all put back together again. This is good parenting. It is not, though, the way that God treats us. Because, I mean, some people think that that's how it works, that the purpose of God is to come to us and show us where we've messed up, and God says, "Go clean that up, and you better have it done before I get back." And so we Christians, the purpose of being a Christian is to scurry around and be very stressed, and hopefully we can get it cleaned up, but we try, and then we mess it up again, and it never really works, and it's very frustrating. Some people, that's their whole life with God. God tells them to clean it up, they try, they fail, they're worried. Will it be clean enough when Jesus returns? God doesn't do that. He, amazingly and mysteriously, He says, "Here, I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to come with you into this mess. I'm going to clean it up." And so the second object is a cross. The cross reminds us that Jesus came not just to be with us in the mess, but to do something about the mess, to do something about our sin, because again, God will not ignore our sin. He will not throw our sin in the garage and pretend it isn't there. He will not dismiss our sin. Since God is holy and perfectly just, there must be payment for our sin. There must be justice. But instead of us paying for our sins, God did something very strange. He took the punishment of our sins in our place. He paid for our sins in our place. As the prophet Isaiah had foretold, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. All of this happened on the cross where Jesus was crucified for us to bring us pardon for our sins. On the cross, Jesus took our sin and guilt, and in return, we receive His innocence and peace. The cross means forgiveness. When I am haunted by the past, the cross means pardon for what I cannot change. When there is no fixing the mess that I've made, the cross means a clean slate, a new start. Jesus carried all my sins to the cross, which means I no longer carry them. One more object that helps us understand who Jesus is, and that's the crown. The crown reminds us that after Jesus was crucified, He rose again from the grave on the third day. And then 40 days after that, the Bible says, He ascended into heaven, where He reigns to this day over all things at the right hand of God. This means Jesus has power. He has power over death. Power that He gives to us by faith in Him. In the power of Jesus, we know and trust that we also, each of us, will rise again one day. We believe, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, that on the last day, our bodies will rise new and imperishable. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Everything will be fully set right again under Him who was crucified for us and rose again. The mess will be fully and finally overcome. And we have hope not only for the future, but for the present as well. Because Jesus reigns today over all things, over all earthly powers and authorities. Under His reign, we know that as messy as things appear right now in our world, all is not lost. The mess that this world has become is not the final result. That hope that we have in Christ gives us power and strength daily, even in the midst of difficult circumstances and stressful circumstances and disappointing circumstances. As Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness." My power is made perfect in weakness. God will sustain us. Our weakest and most helpless moments are simply opportunities for God's power to shine all the more brightly as He is present among us with His pardon of our sin and His power over sin and death and hell. God, our Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus, His Son, has entered into our mess. And in Him, the mess of our sin is overcome and made right again. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.